Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Kelly Padilla, the Executive Director at Grand Canyon Education. Good morning, Kelly. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yes. Out here, based in Phoenix, I work for Grand Canyon Education. I am the Executive Director over Faculty Services. We oversee the recruiting and scheduling of Grand Canyon University's faculty. We also recruit adjuncts for them based on need for online and ground modalities. I've been with the university and with GCE for about 16 years now in a management role.
Oh, very good. And have you always been in down in the Phoenix area, or did you come from somewhere else?
No, I actually migrated from the East, looking for better opportunities. Kind of got, I was in a marketing global chemical company, believe it or not. And the rat race in New York and going back and forth and traveling, I just wanted something better. I came out to Phoenix and just fell in love with the state. And so there was a lot of opportunities out here, and I made my way through higher education, which, believe it or not, is a business.
Yes, it is. Well, living in the Bay Area, there's some good higher education.
Yes.
Stanford, right off the top of my head, they have a heck of an endowment from what I hear.
Yes.
So tell us about Grand Canyon Education and Grand Canyon University and how they coexist and what they're all about.
So, yeah, Grand Canyon University was a Baptist private university. It's been here since 1949, very small community. Over the years and with the economy, they started going under. And so a group of investors came in, private investors, two brothers. And it was kind of like, let's flip this house. Let's get this up and going. We see something good here, and there's a need for solid Christian education out there. And so they helped us get off the ground. And the best thing was that we brought in new leadership and pretty much sold the company, which was Grand Canyon University. And we have investors behind us. And so basically we have been able to keep tuition down for 17 years. We've never raised it. All of our money goes back to the students in scholarship form. We participate in servant leadership, meaning that we all receive community service to go out into the community in Phoenix to do Habitat for Humanity. We're doing a COVID station right now for not only our employees, but people in the area. Phoenix being fifth largest city, we have huge populations of Hispanic or individuals that are just struggling out there. And so we go out there and we feed the homeless, and we work with St. Mary's Food Bank. And so that became our mission, is to not put up the gates, to kind of spread the wealth and really go out there and spread, you know, spread the word of God. And so with our great leadership, we became pretty profitable and we were doing pretty good. And so we decided, you know what, we did really well on this. Let's separate. So Grand Canyon University, being also a private institution, they wanted to get to take in more money as well for scholarships and endowments for the students. So they became private, and they broke away, and they are, you know, appealed to the HLC and everybody like that. And so now they actually are no longer a for-profit university. So Grand Canyon Education became the second part of it, and we broke away. We are the service providers for the university, and they are our customer now. We lead with the same mission. We internally feel like one company, but that allowed us to go out there and help other universities that may have been struggling with online, may have been struggling with curriculum, and really just provide them services that most traditional universities don't really know how to handle, you know?
Very interesting. And how many students are enrolled at Grand Canyon University?
Okay, so I think we have about close to 100,000 online. That number grows. Education seems to be a really big forefront in the grad area right now. We have a huge nursing population on campus. We are one of the largest universities in Arizona for nursing, and we partner with almost 200 different hospitals and organizations And we work with ASU and other universities to really get our healthcare workers trained and out there. And so we really are, again, going back to the community, making sure that we have the best of the best nurses. And so that program has grown. We have, like I said, about 22,000 or more, a good 60% commute from the area, but we are growing from California to Texas and Colorado. Now I'm seeing Minnesota. So the university does a great job outreaching to a lot of kids that just, they want to go to a big school and they find that this is home for them. They like the feeling of the campus and people that are like-minded like them, you know.
Wow, that's really fascinating. And you mentioned both an online and an in-person curriculum. So are those two different schools, or is that one school when you have your choice?
It's one school. Basically, when you have a program and you're behind accreditors and stuff like that, you have to offer the same seat count or seat hours and the same type of rigor in your programs. We were able to manage curriculum where we can pretty much rip it apart and stretch it out for 15 weeks face-to-face, or we can go 8 weeks online. And we put a lot of money and a lot of effort into training not only our faculty, but our adjuncts. And we monitor them. We have systems that will allow us to see how often they're in class, engagement, feedback, and that they're really working for the students. They're not there to babysit. There are a lot of traditional universities that basically just throw up the curriculum and you're kind of on your own and you feel isolated. We are online at least, well, I know personally for me, I do teach for the College of Business. I'm online pretty much 6 to 7 days a week, just checking to make sure that questions are answered, that I have office hours. So we're simulating the same feel as if you were, you know, in class. We also use other software. Not only do we have Zoom conferences, but we have a ton of different free software for education, like Poll Everything and other areas to make it fun, interactive, to keep people engaged.
Wow, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you've been online for a while, right?
Yes, I'm a student of online, and I actually carried through. I was so impressed by the model that University of Phoenix and other schools had that I wanted to be a part of it. And so that's why I joined Grand Canyon University with a business and marketing background. I thought, how am I going to fit into education? And then there was a little bit of a learning curve, but you know what? It all comes back down to servicing your customer, which is your students.
Yeah. Wow. And are a lot of your professors or instructors, are they remote all over the country or all over the world?
Yeah. Yep, we have over 5,000 adjuncts and we have over 1,000 full-time faculty. Our online full-time faculty are in the Phoenix area for the most part. We do have some that are all over the country just because due to the demographics and degrees and, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find people to teach locally. But for the most part, 40% of our faculty live here in Phoenix. So we're employing a lot of people.
So being a techie, I have to ask you, do you have a computer science school?
Yes, we do. And we have cyber warfare, and our students right now are probably in class looking for pedophiles and ISIS.
Wow.
I actually have a student worker that I could hack anything upon his graduation. He got hired for DC. He went right to Washington.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
And so, COVID caused a lot of disruption in the education industry. I mean, I get the impression it didn't have a huge effect. I mean, it had to have some effect, but it probably didn't have a huge effect, right?
I'm going to tell you that when we found out about COVID, it was right before the fall. We were about to launch fall. And there was some concern about, of course, keeping our staff and our faculty safe, but our kids, and especially in the classroom. Online went on like no problem. In fact, online actually flourished because we had more time and more effort to put into them. Like as adjuncts, most people were working from home. But for ground, we were able to pretty much stand up a system within weeks of working around the clock just to make sure that our students were safe and protected. One of the benefits that we have on our campus is we also own a hotel for our hospitality. We own a golf course as well. So we were able to utilize our hotel for first responders in the area that had to be quarantined, but we also were able to shut down because we weren't going to have teams visiting for our sports. quarantine our students to keep them safe. And so we, and having nurses in a clinic and everything on campus, we were able to be there real fast for our students if they were sick, and protect the rest. So we had a couple of weeks where we were online, and then we did kind of like a hybrid model where we only had half the class coming in and making sure that everybody had social distance and wearing masks and hand sanitizer and cleaning after every single class. The good thing is too, a lot of our courses are under 25 students. We purposely keep them small. We have a few lecture halls, but we were able to also bring those online part of the week. And we just met online instead of meeting face-to-face.
Interesting. It's fascinating that, you know, such a, it's the size that you really just, you know, smaller, institutions, I think it would come more natural, but you have, if you're the number of the volume you're talking about, that's amazing. What do you think is the future of education in general, both online and in person? Or you call it ground, right?
Yeah, our traditional ground. That's our modality that we say. But yeah, you know what? I think that universities have always struggled by this academia idea that like online isn't rigorous and you're not going to learn. I think that we're going to see, not only from an employment stance, and organizations, that our people are pretty smart and they actually do really well. And not everybody wants to make the commute an hour, you know, especially going into the city, and have that work-life balance. I think that if universities don't get on board and start offering a very full, rich curriculum online, you're missing out on a whole demographics. There are a lot of students that can't go to the university full time, but yet they have jobs and families to support, especially even our younger generation. We have a lot of individuals that are 19, 20 years old that are supporting families because their parents lost their job. So they needed to keep going. And we gave them a resource where, and cheerleaders, to say, you can do all of it. If you have the dedication, you can do it. And I think that if universities don't get on the bandwagon and start offering either remote learning or remote home life balance, they're going to find that they're going to miss out on a great demographic group of people, and they're going to lose. They're going to lose good employees. They're going to lose really good students.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I mean, I know some of the local universities here do offer online, but I think it's more for people that want to take the class but not get the credit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And are you actually open? I know Arizona is one of the more open states. Are you actually right now open and people coming in, you know, students coming into the classroom?
Yeah.
And
oh, yes. Are. Yeah. Our spring semester, we carried on the same with the fall. And so basically, like I said, we have hybrid classes where half the students will report. If you have a Tuesday, Thursday class, half the students will report on Tuesday. The other half will come in on Thursday. And then if you're Tuesday class, you'll be watching from, you know, online, and then vice versa. We want to make sure there's a very delicate balance with working from home, whether you're managing employees or students. They need the engagement. They need the interaction. And that's one thing that we're very sensitive about, is watching our students and making sure they're not withdrawing and they don't become hermits, you know, watching Netflix and chill in their, in, you know, their rooms. I mean, we watch their activity, and we are offering a lot of outside activities. You know, our students from Colorado, they got to get acclimated to the adjustment to altitude. So we take them to Flagstaff and we go up north. Like, and we try to get them outside as much as we can, but we also need to make sure that they're being engaged and monitored by a human face to face. And it really does make a huge difference in their mental health.
Yeah, no,
as well as our employees.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think it's actually more important for the younger kids, right? That they have that social interaction. As you get older, not everyone needs it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
I miss my team. I do miss my team. I will say that, but you just got to find different ways to connect and engage.
Yes, I know. That's why, like I told you, I play golf with my buddies. Once a week, if we can. That's the one thing we can do here.
Yes. Yeah.
So, well, Kelly, I want to thank you for your time today. This has been fascinating. Sounds like a great university. Hopefully the word gets out about it. It sounds like you're doing a lot of great things there in Phoenix. So I hope 2021 is a great year for you.
Oh, I already see it being a great year. We've learned so much from the last year, and I think we're going to carry that on into 2021. Just continue serving the people and serving our university.
Very good. Well, have a great day.
All right. Thank you.